if you looked at the notice sheet possibly last week, you would have seen that it was supposed to be a true grit tonight with Joth rather than a spiritual discipline with me. And that's because Joth couldn't be here tonight. So about a week ago, he kind of came into my office and said, could you do one of the disciplines this evening? And I said, yeah, sure, let's have a little look at what's left. So we went through all the ones that we'd done, and then we looked, and then we saw worship. And I said, this is amazing, Joff, because you'll never guess what. As you came into my office, I was just finishing off doing a lesson for a primary school on worship. So I was like, this is amazing, because so I've already done most of the reading. I'm pretty much set, so I'll do that. And he was like, yeah, whatever, just shut up. And so I was all right, I was all set. And so Karen and I went and did this lesson. And so we looked at all these different things with the primary school, what Christians do in worship. So first of all, we talked about music. And we talked about how music is one of the primary ways that Christians worship. And we showed them clips of songs of praise. And we showed them clips of Soul Survivor. And we showed them all different ways, different types of music that Christians might worship to. Then we talked to the children about declaration as one of the ways Christian worship. So through the sermon, through the reading of the gospel, through liturgy, you know, we're all declaring what we think about God and worshiping in that way, even through what we wear. So like I showed them the 4 points band and said, look, this is declaring what I believe. And I've just realized it's not mine. Jenny, there you go. Sorry, good duck, Jude. But how we declare what we believe by what we wear, and how this building itself, as John said, the banner, these things declare what we believe about God. And they were acts of worship. The building of this church was an act of worship of the people who used to worship here years and years ago. So we talked about music, we talked about declaration. Then we went on and we talked about prayer. And we talked about long prayers and short prayers, written prayers, unwritten prayers, one word prayers, all the different things. And we went through all these things and did a little activity with them. And we talked about how prayer was a way Christians worship. And then we talked about symbolic act. How the act of communion symbolically is something we do, and it's an act of worship. How baptism is an act of worship. How even a cup of water given in Jesus' name is an act of worship for us. And so with all that in mind, I came to this and thought, yeah, I've got this. I know what I'm going to say. I've got this down. And then I started to look at the discipline of worship. Perhaps that's where we should have, you know, when I looked at the notice sheet, I thought actually we should have put discipline of worship. Because when I looked at the discipline of worship, I realized how far off I was and how I'd missed the point completely of what worship really is. What I'd listed were types of worship, forms of worship. They weren't actually worship. We talked to the kids about how worship was about giving worth to someone or something, and how it's about giving worth to God. And while there's a part of that, that's not what true worship is. When I started to look at the discipline of worship, I realized that true worship happens when God's Holy Spirit meets with our spirit. When we finally, through God's Holy Spirit, get a revelation of who He is, whatever happens next, that is worship. When we are confronted with who God is, what happens next, that is the act of worship. You see, worship doesn't begin with us. Worship begins with God. If we look at John 4:23, we're going to be jumping all over the place tonight in the Bible. So you can keep up if you can, but if you're not, I'm going to read them out. We're starting John 4:23. And Jesus says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks." And I want to just pick up on just a tiny bit of that, just the last three words. The Father seeks. Worship begins with God looking for His worshippers. And worship happens when His Spirit reaches us and is revealed to us who He is. But more than that, it reveals to us who He is and what He has done. And when we see that, when God's Holy Spirit reveals to us who He is and what He has done, when we see that He is the God who seeks, that He is the God, that He is the good shepherd who will leave the 99 to find the one. When we see He is the one that will take on human flesh to die for us. When we see He is the one, like the father in the prodigal son, who runs to meet His children. When we see that, when we see what He has done, then we come to a place where we are just like, "You are awesome, God." And that is worship. When we see that, when we get that, when our heart can do nothing but just scream, just raise our hands, just come to that place of, "This God, You are amazing." That is true worship. That is true worship. That is the worship that we're looking for. The things that I spoke of before, there are ways to get to it. There are ways of us finding that place where we can come and meet with God. And the discipline of worship is all about bringing ourselves to that place of adoration. That place where we go, yeah, you are incredible, God. And what is insane about the discipline of worship is that when we come into it, when we get involved in it, when we try and bring ourselves to that place, we find him. You know, the discipline of worship should all be about him. It should all be about worshiping him. But how often do we come out of a time of worship and go, oh man, I feel great. I feel awesome. I've met with God. And he doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to be there when we call. In fact, why should he? Why should he come when we call? But he does. And this is the insanity of the discipline of worship, is when we try and find him to worship him, he finds us. He inhabits the praise of his people. It's amazing. And I want to inspire you tonight to this discipline. I know whenever we come to one of these disciplines, we're like, we want to inspire you to it. But this one, for me, is the one that has just captured me, captured my imagination. When I saw how wrong I had it, to see what it could be, is just overtaking me at the moment. Because the fact is, if we can get the discipline of worship, people who live in the discipline of worship live in a life of adventure. Live in a life. And I keep coming back to this verse at the moment that Jesus says in John 10:10, which is, I have come that they might have life in all its fullness. Those who engage in the discipline of worship, who live in the discipline of worship, they have life in all its fullness because they are constantly being brought to that place of, God, you are awesome. So I hope in just that brief moment I've inspired you to it. So I want to tell us, how do we do it? I've got 7 ways. So buckle up. I've got 7 ways that we can step into the discipline of worship. And the first is to practice the presence of God. That sounds really like, ooh. It's not that difficult, really. It's basically, if we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's basically what Paul says there. Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. Practicing the presence of God is about praying without ceasing. Now, I, in my mind, when somebody says, pray without ceasing, I imagine myself on the floor, day and night, on my knees, praying. It's not that. You'd never eat, you'd never get anything done. It's not about that at all. Actually, what it is, it's about punctuating every moment of your day with an adoration of God. It's getting up and going, God, thank you for this morning. Thank you. Going to the bathroom and saying, thank you, God, that I have clean water. It's going outside and seeing a bird and going, God, that thing's awesome and you made that. You're amazing. It's about grabbing a leaf and going, look at how intricate that is. You're incredible, God. And it sounds hard because let's face it, you don't get up like that a lot of the time. What is it somebody said? There's 2 types of people. One type of person gets up and says, thank God it's... thank God it's morning. No, I've forgotten it. Don't worry. I'll tell you another time. We don't often get up like that. But I think the more you do it, the more you practice this presence, the more that you take moments in the day to just praise him for little things, the easier it becomes. The more you begin to realize that in every single moment of your day, God is present. And you know that because you've been speaking to him, because you've been telling him how awesome he is. And then if you begin to do that, we begin to see that actually, I think it's one of these things where you fake it till you make it. Like to begin with, you just kind of like have to do it and you have to discipline to do it. And then before long, it just comes second nature. You just go, wow, that's awesome. Thanks, God. Wow, check that out. You're awesome. But the more we do it, the more we practice this presence of God, the more we expect him to be there, the more we expect from him. I think the early church, they got this. They knew what this was like. They punctuated every moment with praise and the knowledge that he was present in their day, which led to the point of when they come across somebody who needed healing, they didn't go, oh God, if you would see fit, please heal this person. They were like, my God's here with me and I know what he wants. Get up. And he got up. This is people who knew what it was to practice the presence of God in their everyday. If you want to get into the discipline of worship, to bring yourself to that place of, God, you're awesome, then do you know what? Do it in little ways every day. Know that he is there in your everyday. Practice the presence of God. Here's the one that is difficult. The next one is give a chance to every different expression of worship. Have many different experiences of forms of worship. If you want to get into the discipline of worship, you've got to worship in every way possible. And that sounds like really difficult and a bit weird. But the fact is, if we read in Mark, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you want to get into the discipline of worship, you've got to worship like that, with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to argue that actually just picking one form of worship and saying, this is what I do, is not going to work. It's not going to get you heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's not. You need to try them all. And if you want to get into the discipline of worship, you've got to try them all, even though they might not be what you want. You know, and let's face it, a lot of us, that's going to be in terms of physicality. It's going to be in terms of worshipping with our body, isn't it? Because that's the awkward thing. We're British. We don't want to do that sort of thing. You know, and you might stand here and say, you know, I'm good. I don't need to dance around in worship because that's not who I am. You know, that's not what God has made me to be. In fact, you know, quiet worship is right for me. But the question you've got to ask is, do you really want to worship in a way that's right for you? Or do you want to worship in a way that's right for him? It's really hard, but I know that I don't want to worship the way I want to worship. I want to worship in a way that he's pleased with. That he looks at and goes, wow, yeah, that's good. I want to worship like that. I don't want to worship just in my safe comfort zone. I want to worship in a way that he is proud of, that he wanted, rather than what I wanted. And the question becomes like, what does our worship say about what we think he's worth? You know, when we did the schools lesson, I had two t-shirts, two identical t-shirts, and I screwed one up, I threw it on the floor, I stamped on it a bit, and then I kicked it across the classroom, which they thought was quite funny. And then I got another t-shirt out, exactly the same t-shirt, and this one I smoothed down, and this one I carefully put one arm on the hanger and then smoothed it again, and then put the other arm on the hanger and then smoothed it again, and then I put it up really carefully somewhere quite high. And then I said to the children, based on my actions, which one has more value? And they said, that one. What do our actions say about how much value we place on God? Do you think he's worthy enough to look like a fool? Do you think he's worthy enough for you to look absolutely stupid in worship? Not because you want to, but because he deserves it. It's a tough one. It's really hard. I'm not saying it's not. But the fact is that so often we hold back, not because we don't think God is worthy, but because we're worried what other people think. It's exactly what John was saying. We hold back because we're worried what everyone else thinks. But I tell you what, if you saw somebody in here dancing from one side to the other and back again, would you really judge them? Would you really be like, oh my goodness? Or would you be like, wow, that's pretty cool? You know, we go to Soul Survivor every year and we have this rule. What happens in the big top stays in the big top. So that everyone feels comfortable. That if they want to go in there and they feel called to just dance around like an idiot, maniac, whatever, then they can. Because nobody's going to ridicule them for it. Because ultimately, we're worshipping for an audience of one. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. You know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to worship however I want to worship. Because not however I want to worship, however he wants me to worship. Because it's for him that I'm doing it. We've got to try out all these different experiences. If you want to get involved in the discipline of worship, you've got to try it all, even if it doesn't sit well with you. Because in doing it, you're showing him just how much you think he is worth. So don't hold back. If you really want to engage in the discipline of worship, I never figured this out. I don't know how I've gone 31 years not figuring this out. You've got to prepare. You've got to prepare for when you come to worship together. You've got to prepare to gather to worship. And you may do this, and it may just be me, in which case, forgive me. But I never thought about the fact that on a Saturday night, I could stop before I go to bed and go, hang on, where am I at? Where am I at with God? Is there something I need to confess? Is there something I can do? Is there a way that I can just sit down now, confess my sins to God, let him deal with it, and then pray for the service tomorrow? Pray for those that are going to come. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the worship band. Can you imagine if, I mean, maybe you all do that and it's just me, but can you imagine if we all did it, me included, how different our worship would be on a Sunday morning? How more built up our preachers might feel, how convicted our worship leaders might be. how amazing it could be. You know, and when you start to do that as well, you begin to expect God to do stuff. If you've sat up the night before and gone, God, speak to us through the preacher tomorrow. Speak to me through the worship. You come in the morning, you're like, I'm going to hear from God today. You're excited about it. And you know, I've joked, you know, when we had an interregnum, luckily nobody did this is here, I don't think. No, it's all good. But people would come up to me and be like, I'd be like, are you coming to service on Sunday morning? And they'd be like, who's speaking? And I'd be like, I wanted to say, God. God is speaking. I don't know who through, but it's going to be God. And as much as I was very pious in that, do I really believe it? Do I really get up and expect on a Sunday, God's going to speak to me today? I'm going to hear him. I'm going to meet him in the worship. What would change if I came to church like that? If you want to really want to get into the discipline of worship, we've got to prepare to be in worship. Prepare for when we gather together. Oh, this one's a really hard one as well. If we want to get into the discipline of worship, we've got to be prepared to submit. Toby talked all about submission last week, so I don't want to go into it too much, but I want to talk about how the discipline of submission fits into the discipline of worship. Because the fact is, if we want to be involved in the discipline of worship, if we want to live a life filled with this discipline, we've got to remember, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. We've got to be prepared to submit, because ultimately there is only one worship leader, and that is Jesus. Jesus is our worship leader, which sounds like it should be printed on a t-shirt, doesn't it? Like, Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is my worship leader. But he is. He is our worship leader, which means that if Jesus is our worship leader, it's not about what I like. It's about what he wants. It's not about the songs that I like. And if Jesus is our worship leader, do you know what? There's going to be times when there's songs that you don't like because he loves them. Do you know what? There's going to be times where a song moves in the service because he wanted it that way. For some reason, it's going to bring more glory to him to have moved that song. Sometimes it's going to be a case where songs disappear because that's the way he wants it. And we need to submit to that because he is our worship leader. And in some way, that is going to bring more glory to him. And it's about him. There's going to be times where the preacher gets up to preach and realizes he's not meant to and has to sit down again. When Jesus is our worship leader, it's not going to be comfortable. Because look at the disciples. How often are they honestly comfortable? Hardly ever. When Jesus is our worship leader, when we are seeking what he wants, when we feel the heartbeat of what he wants to do, when it's all about him and not about us, then there'll be things that we don't find comfortable. There'll be times where actually he just does nothing. There's just silence. And actually what he's doing is quiet and in our hearts. And we never know what's going on. But he does it. There'll be times when actually he has a word of prophecy through somebody. And we may sit there and go, well, I don't agree with that. Tough luck, he does. So we have to submit. There'll be times where he wants to heal people. And we'll be like, I'm not sure about healing. And he'll be like, but I am. There you go. When he is in charge, there'll be times where we have to go, I'm not sure about this. But actually, it's about you. And so we need to submit. And actually, that when I say Jesus is our worship leader, it sounds like I'm saying we don't need normal worship leaders. And it couldn't be farther from the truth, what I'm trying to say here. It couldn't be. We desperately need worship leaders. It's somebody who can lead services. Well, I lead services. I'm not sure I can. But lead services and, you know, lead youth groups. I cannot lead worship. Is not a gift that I have. I can't do it. I can't see past my own personal preference for songs to hear what Jesus, the worship leader, is saying. If somebody puts before me, oh, this is the air I breathe, I'll be like, forget it. No. But no, I can't do it. So when we have guys that can do it, and we have people like John, like Karen, like loads of us here, who can listen to Jesus, the worship leader, who can say, this is what Jesus is trying to do today, our worship leader, then we need to submit to them. Their leadership has been gifted to them, and we need to submit to that. And we need to go get beyond, I don't like that song, I don't like the way I do that. And you might think, well, yeah, we do that, but how often, and I hope it's just me, I really do, how often do we leave worship and go, oh, I didn't get much from worship today. Like it's about us. How often do we go going, oh, I wouldn't have done it like that. Well, no. It's not about you. It's not about what you get from worship. It's about what he gets from worship. So when if we want to get into the discipline of worship, if we want to worship God the way he deserves to be worshipped, we've got to be prepared to submit to each other and ultimately to Jesus. Oh, they get better. That was a hard one. There's only three more. Oh. If you want to get into the discipline of worship, then we have to cultivate a holy dependence. Again, long words for no real reason. Cultivate a holy dependence. Basically, we have to learn to rely on him for everything. If we want to get into the discipline of worship and come to that place of worship, we got to constantly be saying to him, what do you want? You know, Jesus, in my day, every single time there's a decision, stop saying, I want to do this, I want to do that, but say, Jesus, what do you want? And do you know what? There'll be times, like if you're standing in front of the sandwiches in Tesco's where you go, Jesus, chicken or fish? He'll probably go, I don't mind. You go, I gave you free will, you choose. But there'll be other times where he goes, hang on, go and talk to that person over there. Go and do this. And we need to cultivate that holy dependence. And what's wonderful is when we start to say, what should I do, Jesus? What should I do? And we start to hear his voice. We start to hear him say, go and do that. We get into this wonderful cycle that I think I've spoken about before, but I absolutely love. In that, you know, we hear what we have to do and we have to obey. And we obey and then our faith, it grows. Because we're suddenly like, oh my goodness, I did it. And Jesus helped me, I did it. So our faith grows. So then next time when we go, what shall I do, Jesus? And he said this, we go, okay, last time you were with me, so I'll do it again. And sure enough, we obey. And then when we obey, he does it. And we go back and we have more faith. And we get this wonderful cycle of faith and obedience where we find that the more we rely on him, the more we realize he can be relied upon. And the more we do that, the more we find ourselves being obedient. This is one of the wonderful things about the discipline of worship. It leads to obedience. But I just want to point something out. At no point in anything I've said so far have I said service is a form of worship. And I have struggled with this massively. But I don't think service is a form of worship, which sucks for me because I figured that was my main form of worship. But it's not. Because service comes out of worship. It's not a form of worship. We serve because we adore him. Because we reach that place where we were like, I will do anything for you, God. So our service comes out of that. And service without adoration becomes idolatry. Because we build ourselves up as being something that we're not. Service comes out of our adoration. It comes out of this holy dependence that we build on him. And as we build this holy dependence, this is so obvious when you think about it. If you look and you've gone through the day relying on God, at the end of the day, when you look back and you go, huh, you were with me then. You're with me then. You're with me then. You just go, you're awesome. And you can see how just looking and relying on him and showing that he can be relied upon leads you to a place of adoration. We've got to cultivate a holy dependence on him. This one's good. One of the ways, if you want to get into the discipline of worship, is you have to absorb distractions with gratitude. If you want to come into the discipline of worship, you want to keep bringing yourself to that place, do you know what? There's going to be times where stuff gets in the way when you get distracted. It might be here on a Sunday morning and some blessed child is over there throwing things around. And you might be God, like, oh, I'm trying to worship and that child just keeps screaming. Or, you know, it might be a Soul Survivor. There was a bat in the Big Top. It was amazing, highly distracting as you kind of like, look at it. And you could get completely distracted from worship. Or you can absorb the distraction and be grateful and go, you know what? Thank you, God, for that child. Basically, when that happens, you've got two options. You can either moan about it and let it distract you and say, God, you know, why isn't somebody calling pest control to get rid of that bat or child? Or you can go, do you know what? God, thank you for that child's enthusiasm. Thank you for their mother that is smothering them. Thank you for just the wonder that they have. Or you can look at the bat and say, thank you, Lord. Look at that thing. It is pretty awesome. It doesn't look like it should fly, but it does. And you are amazing for making it. You can turn things that should be distractions into moments to praise, to moments to be thankful and to have gratitude. And the more we do that, I'm sure you can imagine, it's not easy, But the more you do that, the more everything becomes a moment of praise. The more every single challenge you go, oh, bless them. Bless this, bless that. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, I tried at Soul Survivor about last year. They moaned that I was too grumpy. So I decided that I was going to try and be less grumpy. And so what I did when somebody, I have a real thing at Soul Survivor with people bringing instruments. I don't understand why, after spending all that time in a tent singing, you have to play your guitar next to my tent at 4 a.m. Anyway, I said I was going to be less grumpy. And so what I started to do is every time somebody annoyed me, I just went, oh, bless them. But I didn't mean it. I meant somebody throttle them. But the more we do this, the more that becomes genuine. The more you reach a hurdle, you reach a distraction and you go, thank you, God. And you see that actually this is a teaching moment. That Jesus is saying to you, look at that child. Look at the way they're dancing in freedom. Look at that. Be more like that. You know, there's all these teaching moments that I believe God has for us every day, but we just miss them. So if we want to get into the discipline of worship, we have to absorb distractions with gratitude. And the last one, I'll go through them all quickly at the end so that you can just keep up. The last one, if you want to get into the discipline of worship, you have to be prepared to offer a sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13:15, let's see if I can find it. Hebrews is always one of those books I struggle to find. Here we go. Hebrews 13:15. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. What is a sacrifice of praise? It's worship when you don't feel like worshiping. It's worship when you just can't face it. It's worship in the bad times where everything seems to be going wrong and you're like, why should I worship God? Until you realize that he is worthy of worship no matter what is going on in your life. It's worship in the good times where you think everything's going good and you don't think about worshiping. Offering a sacrifice of praise is worshiping when you don't feel like it. It's worshiping, and this one's going to be the hardest for me, when everything you want to do is actually just veg or chill in front of the TV. It's taking a moment to say, but God, you are way more important. What you have done is so much greater than just sitting in front of the TV. Offering a sacrifice of praise isn't easy, but it is a discipline of worship. But it's not a case of being fake. You know, in this offering of a sacrifice of praise, don't go in as if everything's good. You know, you can be honest with God. You can sit down and go, God, I don't feel like worshiping right now, but I'm going to give this time to you anyway because I know it won't be wasted. You know, you can even, this is really hard as well. A sacrifice of praise might be coming to church when you're really angry with the church. Coming along and being honest and saying to God, God, look, I'm worshipping with this stiff-necked, stubborn people who are sinful as I am and just as deserving as your love. You know, it's being honest in worship. It's offering a sacrifice when you don't want to do it, but just doing it anyway. You think about how much that says of how much you think God is worth. It's easy to praise in the good times. So much harder to say, even in my darkness, God, you are worthy to be praised. So, if you want to do this, if you want to get into the discipline of worship, you want to live that life in all its fullness, practice the presence of God. Try so many different types of worship, even if they don't fit with what you like. Prepare to come together to worship. Prepare to submit to each other and ultimately to Jesus. Cultivate a holy dependence. Absorb distractions with gratitude and be prepared to offer a sacrifice of praise. All kind of standing up here aside, I want to ask you to do something. For me, I want this. I want this so bad. I want to be someone who knows this as a reality in their life. And so I'm going to ask you, all of you, to keep me accountable. When I start moaning, remind me to find something to thank him for. Please. I'm not just joking. Especially you lot, because you're with me all the time. Please. Because I want to be in this. I want to be a true worshipper like this. And if you want me to do that for you, I will do it. But please ask all of you to do that for me. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, you are so awesome. We thank you that you somehow, for some reason, choose to meet us in our worship of you. We don't understand. We can never understand. But Lord, we ask to help us with this discipline, to make us true worshippers, to make us those who worship you in spirit and truth, to make us those who come to you continually and continually are surprised and blown over just by how awesome you are, that we might be seen as different people because we are constantly praising, adoring our God for all you are and for all you have done. Father, make us a church like that. Make us a beacon in this town that if nothing else, people say, that is a church that knows how to worship. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you have done. And we pray that you would go with us. You would help us to see you in every moment of our day. And you would help us to remember just how awesome you are. Amen.